Tamela Bush, literary manager of Portland Center Stage, had a conversation with playwright Kate Hamill about her piece, Dracula, a feminist revenge fantasy, really, and began by asking about Kate's choices. So much of your work includes adapting classics with a little twist. Can you talk about where that pull comes from and what made you interested in picking Dracula to tackle? Hamill went on to explain, I was approached by Classic Stage Company in New York about adapting one of two texts, either Dracula or Frankenstein. And I read both, and I thought, you know, Dracula is going to be the bigger challenge. The source material has lots of inherent challenges. People turn into bats and wolves. It's been done a million ways already. Everybody already knows the basic beats of the story. And also, it's quite misogynist and xenophobic. So, as a feminist playwright, I thought it was really an interesting challenge to take on, particularly in reclaiming a classic narrative and finding new avenues and meaning. And it also seemed fun. I mean, people turn into bats and wolves. It's got a lot of opportunities for fun, as well as horror, and that was interesting to me. Bush continued, the full title of the play is Dracula, a feminist revenge fantasy, really. A lot of your adaptations have a grounding in feminist politics, but this is the first one that is specifically labeled a revenge fantasy. What about this story made revenge a theme you wanted to explore? Hamill went on to respond, the story is about people who are not men standing up against serial predators. And that kind of empowering action felt like a very satisfying revenge fantasy. I mean, wouldn't it be great to stab toxic masculinity in its ancient heart? There's a kind of joy in that, as well as fear. And it's exaggerated, you know. Anything with vampires is inherently heightened. So that's part of the fantasy element. Bush probed further. Another unique quality of your work is irreverence and, quite frankly, a bunch of silliness. This play has a lot of humor, but it's decidedly different from some of your other work. I feel like every question I have is, what's different about this story? But what's different about this play that made you change the relationship to humor? Oh, gosh, I feel like humor is a fundamental coping strategy that I use in my life. My family is the type that makes extremely morbid jokes at funerals, so I can't help but sprinkle it in. I find it truly irresistible. I also feel like humor helps audiences listen better. If it's only grimness all the time, they can shut down. This play is definitely walking a tightrope between real fear, fear of predation and of being controlled, and the humor people use to cope with those situations. And I feel that's very true to life. Some of my other plays are more straight-up comedies. This is swerving into horror. Bush says, fear plays a big role in this show. How did you navigate writing something that is so scary, creepy, crawly? And what do you see fear's importance being in the storytelling? Hamill replied, I'm a big scaredy cat about things that go bump in the night personally. So it was pretty easy for me to access that fear. I can't watch scary movies. I tried to frighten myself, to write about things that scared me. And I'm scared of toxic people who pose as charmers. And I'm certainly scared of powerful predators. And I'm scared of people being controlled against their will. So I just tried to arrange situations that would scare me and hope that would scare my characters too. That from an interview with playwright Kate Hamill with Kamala Bush of Portland Center Stage in anticipation of their production of Hamill's adaptation of Bram Stoker's novel, Dracula. King's College Theater invites us into the fear and fun of Hamill's Dracula, a feminist revenge fantasy, really, on the campus in Wilkes-Barre this weekend. Elizabeth Powers directs the production, and we had a chance to speak with her about the show and how the department made the choice to include this Dracula in the season.
Looking back through the years, I think it's 75 years of theater at King's. This is their 76th. This is the first time that anyone has ever done Dracula, which is really cool in the fact that, you know, this is like a horror genre, obviously. But also, as we are teaching the different styles that we have throughout and different isms when we're teaching our acting classes, this is very strongly in the feminism style of what's going on, since it is a feminist revenge fantasy. So it's a really great experience for our students to kind of explore taking a classic work of literature and then making it for the modern ages, because Hamill only wrote this very recently within the last 5 years. And to have this feminist twist with it is something that makes it very interesting and unique, and something that they haven't really explored before, at least in the time that Jamil and I have been here.
And you, as a woman in theater, coming up through the education that you had and the wide-ranging work that you've done, do you find it rare to have this kind of experience?
I would say yes. I would say this is definitely rare. To be able to focus on such a feminist-driven play would be maybe more now in this day and age. You might be able to find it more, but it's nothing that I've experienced in my career over the last, like, 30 years or so, has never been anything like this. And so I think it's a really incredible experience. And I have to tell you, the students themselves are getting so much out of this entire process, literally from the read through all the way to the table work and then to actually putting it into practice. The amount of layers that is just embedded into this script. Kate Hamill is an incredible artist. She has written this beautiful script that every single day, every time we get to go through the script, I'm finding more and more hidden gems that I don't even know if she necessarily put all of that in there consciously, but as someone who started thinking through her lens, I'm finding all of these different things that I just like, I love exploring, and the kids just grab onto it and then continue to grow from their personal experience. And that's really what artistry is about, right? Is everyone taking everything from their own point of view and then being able to discuss it and then grow everyone else's point of view into a greater expansion. So it's been an incredible experience and something I'm really incredibly proud to be putting on.
Let's just go into it. There is a male Dracula.
Yes, there are actually 3 male characters. So the original script calls for 9 actors. However, I cast 12 because some of the roles were double cast, and I was able to give more opportunity to more students that came out, because we had a huge showing for the auditions this year. A lot of people wanted to come out and be a part of this, and it was very difficult to make the final decision. But I'm really excited about the cast that we have, because they were 100% perfectly handpicked for the roles that they're playing. So I'm really excited about that. And our Dracula actually is the only one who's not a current student. He's actually an alum who graduated just about, I think it was a year and a half ago, and it's made for this role. So I'm really grateful he came out and auditioned for it.
In the telling of the story, it's loosely based on Bram Stoker's novel, as we understand. To what degree do the women prevail then? How do we get to see that there are strong women who aren't falling over left and right, swooning for Dracula to their own detriment?
I love that question. So some of the characters, the very famous characters from Bram Stoker's original novel, is actually played as women now, not just like women playing a male role, but they have reinvented it for women specifically. And the wives, the bride wives, who are vampires, are a much larger role in this than have been seen before. And really, Mina plays a massive role in this. And truthfully, this is, as far as I know, and I could be wrong about this, but this is the first time I'm ever seeing Mina portrayed as a pregnant mother. So she is a wife and mother in this, and the fact that she is waiting. And we actually have her, for most of the play, be about 7 months pregnant, which any pregnant mothers out there know that you kind of feel like a superhero about that time, because you know, right after the second trimester, you're still getting all of those great energy boosts and stuff. So the things that she's able to accomplish as a mother, as a pregnant mother, I personally take a lot of pride in, because as a mother of 3 children, very young children, and the amount of stuff that I've been able to do as a woman who is pregnant and a new mother, and that a lot of people say, well, once you get pregnant, you have to slow down. You can't do this. You can't lift. You can't this. You can't, like, all of these things, these restrictions that people put on you that, you know, that always with the best intention. At the same time, you know yourself, you are strong, you are a woman, you are someone who is able to create life and bring that life into the world. And it's not something to hold you back, but in fact, encourage that strength. And that's something that Van Helsing and Mina speak a lot about in this play, and the fact that if Mina doesn't, then her children will. If she doesn't fight this evil, her children will have to face it. So who else to fight this? Who else would be perfect except for her?
I read the author's note, and the suggestion was that Hamill preferred the set and the scenery and the costumes to be pale and white so that the splattering could be more profound. Have you made that choice?
Yes, we are trying to follow Kate Hamill's lead as best as possible because it was from her brain, and I love interpreting it through her. So we, our incredible costume designer, Autumn, has come up with some beautiful costumes, and everybody starts off in that pale white to then continue to grow, to have that evil visually consume them as well as throughout the play. So it's a really stark contrast. And we have a student, actually, David Howell, who's in charge of all of our special effects, specifically the blood and all of that. And he's been having a blast, I'll tell you, putting everything together. And it's been really wonderful watching these students just take ownership and agency over all of the different tasks that we've put into them. And so it's been great.
And how are you staging it? We know about the wonderful thrust stage at King's. We know about what you have available. But what space are you using for this?
So this is actually going to be a proscenium arch mostly. We have some different platforms and things that are built off of that proscenium arch. And actually, another student, he's a senior, Matt Carr, was the set designer for this. And he created a space that we're able to use so much, to like all these different entrances and exits, and there's all these stairs. And Dave Reynolds and AJ Bonk, they're doing the lights and the sound. And really a lot of this story is going to be told through lights and sound and set and special effects along with the actors. So this is just a huge show. It's very tech heavy. It's very actor heavy. And it is just such a spectacle to see on the stage. And truthfully, it's almost like a horror film on stage in real life. And it's been really great to see it coming to life as we're experiencing the tech week and everything. So it's been really great.
And you mentioned sound. Does that include music?
Yes, there's different kind of music. There's a lot of interesting things where they use different instruments to create sound that's not necessarily melodic, but like soundscape sort of things. And so it gives you a lot of jump scares. There is music involved. And we're also trying to use music from all different kinds of eras, specifically because the story of Dracula is a timeless story, because evil exists everywhere, all the time. And it's a fight that we have to fight against every single day. So while this is set in an older time period, it is a battle that us as good humans are fighting against all the time. And we want that to come across very clearly, that even though this battle seems like it is something that we have won, this war continues to rage. And the only way to fight against this evil is to always be aware that evil is lurking in all of the shadows.
As a director, then, is the force of evil, is it so strong and so dynamic that the play unfolds in a way that it feels like there's almost perpetual motion? Are there pauses? I'm talking, I guess, about the rhythm of the show itself.
Well, I'm always hoping that the drive of everything comes very clearly, where you can see the energy kind of spark right from the beginning through the end. That truthfully, even in Kate Hamill's original writings of this, explaining who Dracula is he is a very suave, very charismatic person that people like. You just like them, even though they're evil. You can do, there's just something about them that draws you in. And that is apparent right from the beginning. It's just under seeing that, being drawn into his character. And then as we watch this unfold, we see the mask slip and the true nature of him, which is that person who's just always looking for that ultimate power over all of these other beings that he considers to be lesser than him. And honestly, he's just on that search to suck that power out of everyone else so that he can continue to grow.
You mentioned the table reading and the preliminaries as you're getting ready to get the blocking underway and all of that. Have there been conversations about, now you're talking about being at a school that is a Roman Catholic school, and presumably the students have to take moral philosophy or theology or courses like that. Are there those kinds of profound questions coming up in the course of preparing a play like this?
100%. I'm so glad that you asked about that because, yes, truthfully, I am a Catholic woman who has been born and raised Catholic and very much believes in my faith. And we understand that this whole story has very dark themes about it. In fact, there are some scenes in here that are hard as the director for me to watch sometimes. And we knew going in that this is going to create a spiritual warfare for the people that are performing this. But the truth is that this is a message that needs to come out. This is something that I felt very strongly called to, because if we try to ignore or turn a blind eye to evil, it does not make evil go away. In fact, it makes it grow stronger. So we need to tell stories like this to bring awareness, to pull it out of the darkness and into the light so that people can watch and see this and become aware of this. And that is something that we have spoken about throughout the entire process, about what it means, not just socially, but also spiritually, what it is to have this Dracula character who really embodies this devil of this great pretender promising these great things and promising freedom and salvation, when truthfully all he is doing is taking your blood and your life from you. And you realize that while he offers these beautiful, sweet words, which is said many times throughout the play, it is just words and the actions. There's no follow through. There's no real redemption in what he is offering you. And I'm so incredibly inspired by these students that just want to do their absolute best. And I'm proud of it. And I'm really proud because almost every one of them has come up and said, it's truthfully just the story that we're trying to tell, how much depth there is to this script and how excited they are to try to get that across to the audience that I'm most inspired by.
Is there humor in this show?
Yes, there definitely is. Because with a lot of these dark situations, you need some levity in order to kind of take it all in. So be prepared to definitely laugh, to cry a little, and just kind of scared. There's a couple of jump scares in here that still get me.
Let me just ask you then, how can we get to take part in this?
Yes, you could get tickets at kingstheater.com or onthestage.com. And if you look up King's Theater, we have shows Friday night at 7:30 p.m. and then Saturday at 2 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. And then a special showing Saturday night at 10 p.m. It's kind of like our midnight showing, but it's going to start at 10 p.m. and we're actually having a costume contest. So if you come dressed in costume, you have a chance to win a prize, which would be very cool. And then after our Friday night show, actually at 7:30, we are having a free improv show called Bloody Improv. So it's going to be done by our Causing a Scene improv troupe that Jamil and I are both a part of. And it's a student-based improv troupe, and it's super fun and very exciting. And we'll have pizza along with that one too. So I'm excited. So come on out and see a free improv show along.
Elizabeth Powers, adjunct professor in the King's College Theater Department, who directs the current production at King's of Dracula, a feminist revenge fantasy, really, by Kate Hamill. And that's this weekend. And as Elizabeth just laid out for us, this evening at 7:30, October 3rd, with an improv session to follow this performance. And then tomorrow, Saturday, October 4th, at 2 and 10 p.m., the 10 p.m. is the equivalent of a midnight show. And then again, Sunday, this Sunday, October 5th, at 2 in the afternoon, in the George P. Maffei II Theater. And that is on the King's College campus at 133 North River Street in Wilkes-Barre. And tickets are available, kingstheater.com, and more information, kingstheater.com. And theater is spelled T-R-E, T-H-E-A-T-R-E, kingstheater.com. Dracula, a feminist revenge fantasy, really, and that's at King's College in Wilkes-Barre, the Maffei Theater, 133 North River Street, 7:30 this evening, and then tomorrow at 2 and 10, and on Sunday, this Sunday, October 5th, at 2. For more information and tickets, kingstheater.com.